This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's the drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive in the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
Yeah, baby, let's do it. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose helping us out in the production room. No, it's not production room. What do we call that? Producer room.
Production Island,
okay. Yeah. But we're not really...
It's gone by a couple different names.
Yeah, basically you're producing the show.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I bet you kind of are too, I guess.
Well, yeah, who knows? Just I think I'm the rarity.
Throw Island in there, social distancing.
Yeah,
right, use
right.
that.
Yeah, we want to make sure we sound like we are doing everything correctly, which I think we are, obviously. So, all right, it's going to be a fun hour because we're starting with a guest that I have never personally talked to. Grew up watching Derek Harper, and it was one of those guys that was kind of like, one of those like fame guys, because when you're 10, 11, 12, you're like, man, is he good. And now I know what it's like when my son watches Kofi, Io, and these guys and talks about them all the time. Yeah. That was me with Derek Harper.
It's like me watching D.
Yep, you watching D. So right now, without further ado, let's talk to Derek Harper. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well, man. Let me say this really quick. The beast mode, if you remember, Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
He did interviews so he wouldn't get fined, correct?
Yes.
I'm doing this interview because it's with Derek Piper. How about that?
Oh, wow, man. Hey, I'm sitting next to a star, Derek. I'm sitting next to a star. It just so happens. Yeah, you're both just happen to be named Derek. You know, that must be the key here that I'm messing up.
Exactly right.
Spelled the right way, too.
Spelled it the proper way, so I'm happy to be with you guys.
Well, Derek Harper, you are truly, when I say this, I have been around Central Illinois most of my life except for my foray down to Southern Illinois for college and to work for a few years. But Derek Harper is a name that has always resonated with Illinois fans. They still love you. And Derek, I want to ask you this. We were kind of going last hour over some of your stats, and Pipes mentioned in high school how you were the number one point guard in the country and a guy that was like a fourth or fifth best player, you know, projected coming out. Why Illinois?
Well, I can tell the story now. Actually, I've been holding on to the story for a long time, but initially I thought I would end up at Michigan.
Ooh.
And Johnny Orr was the head coach at Michigan. I don't know if you guys remember. In 80, Johnny Orr decided to leave Michigan and go to Iowa State. And once he made that decision to leave, I decided to come to the University of Illinois. I always wanted to play in the Big Ten. Things were popping at that particular time, and I wanted some of it. Isaiah Thomas was in the Big Ten at the time. Magic Johnson was a household name. Obviously, Mark Smith and Eddie Johnson were at Illinois, and it just seemed like the perfect fit for me.
Derek, your assistant that you were recruited by was down there 21 straight Tuesdays. It says here, Tony Yates. Was that one where you knew every Tuesday, hey, Yates is flying down here, I'll see him?
Man, I love Coach Yates, first of all. And if he's listening, man, I love him. I really do. The guy was honest. He was straight up. And I ended up there. But you're bringing back some of the greatest basketball memories of my life, because obviously when you're in high school and you're an All-American, a lot of good things that are coming your way at that particular time. And he's the one that convinced me, to be really honest with you. Coach Yates really laid it out. I would be on the floor, and that was another big reason why I chose Illinois, because I wanted to play right away. And the University of Illinois gave me that opportunity to be on the floor. You know, you can be as good as anybody, but if you don't get the time and opportunities to prove that, then it doesn't work. So they gave Illinois, and Coach Ed gave me that opportunity.
Derek, your freshman year, went to the NCAA tournament teaming up with Eddie Johnson. First time Illinois had been there in about 18 years. We talk now about Illinois not going to a tournament in a long time. That was even longer. What do you remember about that season, and particularly playing with Eddie and what you're able to do there at Illinois that first year?
Well, I learned that I had a long ways to go, because, you know, that's big time. You get to the high school level, and you get to the college level. It's different. Everybody is good, and it's a challenge every single night to go out and be who you are, do the things that you're accustomed to doing. But it was a good experience. Eddie, Mark, both those guys were veterans, seasoned guys, if you would, in the Big Ten. And I learned a lot from both of those guys.
Sure.
You know, just work ethic. Eddie was one of those guys that gave freshmen a hard time, and he certainly gave me a hard time. But, you know, all in all, things worked out for the best. We had a pretty solid year my freshman year. And how ironic is it that I lost to a guy that I teamed up with at here in Dallas, Rolando Blackman. We lost to K-State, I think, that particular year, would have went on to play the Tar Heels in North Carolina. That didn't happen because, you know, Roe, which he reminds me of frequently, he was a roadblock for us. So, yeah, the experience was great, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Visiting with Illini great Derek Harper, and you became greater even because you were just named to the Hall of Fame class for the University of Illinois. What does that honor mean, Derek, for a guy that has played so many years in the NBA, excelled at such a high level, both on the court and off now as an announcer? What did it mean to hear that those words of you're now a Hall of Fame member at the University of Illinois?
It means everything. It's just a real feeling. And when I tell you I mean that from the bottom of my heart, I don't think when you start off playing basketball that you start thinking about the Hall of Fame and getting your jersey retired and making all-star games and doing all these great things. So, again, it's surreal. When they happen, it gives you an opportunity to reflect, of course, and you reflect on what you've done as a basketball player. It happened in the Big Ten. With Coach Henson, you talked about Coach Yates already, Coach Nagy, Bob Hull, just a lot of different people that I remember, Bruce Douglas, Ephraim Winters. You know, those are the guys that I played with. We already talked about Eddie and Mark and all those different guys. They're a part of it, to be quite frank with you, because, you know, you don't accomplish things by yourself when it comes to sports. Sports is the ultimate team game. I don't care which sports you're talking about. You need other people to, whether they're coaches, psychologists, whatever the case might be, you need other people to find success. And all of those people played a very important role in me being inducted into the Illini Hall of Fame. It's a big deal. It really is.
That's awesome.
Derek, you know how much Coach Henson means to people around here. Just what was it like playing for him? What did you take from him? How did that help prepare you for going forward?
Everybody always starts with a laugh when you ask him about Coach Lou.
I just can't help but laugh. Man, I can't help but laugh when I think about Lou, because Coach Henson is one of the most unique people, coaches that you'll ever be. But the one thing I'll say for Lou, and I know he's battled cancer. One thing I'll say for him is that he was honest with me. He told me he would give me a shot to be a starter. He gave me that shot. And Lou changed me, because I came in, like you guys mentioned earlier, as an All-American.
Sure.
So I thought I had it all figured out. And Lou was the one guy that put me in my place. You know, he always called me a hot dog. You can't be a hot dog passing the ball behind your back and throwing this pass and that pass. And one thing I'll say about Joe Tipton, who doesn't get the respect that he deserves, is that he always prepared his team. And you can prepare in a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be during game day, but we were prepared going into every game that we played because Coach Henson did his due diligence on our opponent as well as any coach that I've been around. And I played for Pat Fowley, Chuck Daly, Dick Mata,
wow.
George Coach McLeod, John McLeod, just a lot of all-time great coaches. And again, I don't think Coach gets his credit because he's not one of these, God, I don't know how to say it, but he's just not one of these new wave coaches. He's an old school coach, right. Had a lot of success at New Mexico State. And I don't think I have the success as a professional basketball player without Lou. I love him.
Isn't it great, too, because as great as Lou was, Mary's even better.
Yes. The barbecues that we had at their houses, man, I'll remember for the rest of my life. I'll take them to my grave. It was a family atmosphere. Everybody was treated pretty much the same. And I think if you go down the line and ask every player about Coach Henson and his family, they will echo the same sentiment that those people came from love. And love means everything.
Derek Harper, our guest, honored to be joined by Derek Harper, Illini great, NBA great. You know, Derek, you left after 3 years at Illinois, and, you know, now guys leave after their freshman year. We're all in a panic about Kofi after we heard last night. Back then, and I don't want to make you sound old, I'm about as old, but back then, you know, leaving after 3 years, was that something that was pretty normal, or were you kind of a trendsetter with that?
Maybe I was a trendsetter, and I, after 3 years, I had a great junior year, and a lot of people thought I was crazy for leaving after 3 years, but I don't think I could have played any better as a college basketball player than I did my junior year, and the reason why I had so much success was because of the people that Illinois brought in my junior year. I talked about Bruce Douglas, Ephraim Winters, George Montgomery, Anthony Welch was on the team at that particular time. Timing is everything in my mind at 58 years old. You were just talking about how old and not wanting to age me. I'm proud to be 58. I hope I get another 58 years in.
Amen.
But it was just, the timing was right is what made my decision. You know, I was second team All-American that year. Had a tremendous Big Ten season, which, to me, the Big Ten has always been the best conference in the land. Everybody talks about the Big East. They talk about the ACC. When you really do your due diligence on the best players that ever played in the NBA, a lot of them came from the Big Ten. And I felt like if I had the kind of year that I had as a junior, it was time for me to go. And I left in a very sad way, but... You know, when you're young and naive, you have to do what you have to do, and that's what I decided to do.
Derek, you went on to have a ton of success at the NBA level, a lot of big years with Dallas, and your numbers retired there, some matchups in the playoffs with the Lakers and Magic. Just what was that like? What was it like going against Magic and those Laker teams? I know that you guys ended up on the wrong side of a couple of those, but just the runs you made in the playoffs and deep to the Western Conference Finals in 88.
Oh, man, you start talking about the Lakers, I want to get off the phone because I think they were nemesis for us as a Maverick organization. You know, I would tell people that if it wasn't for a Hall of Fame basketball team, I would have won a championship.
Wow.
And when you start talking about the Lakers, of course, you go to Kareem and you go to Magic, you go to Worthy, you go to guys like Byron Scott. A lot of these guys are considered Hall of Fame caliber talent and players. Then you add the organization in general, Jerry Buss, Pat Rowley, and his staff. We didn't overcome that. But in 87-88, I think we took those guys to 7 games. And when I tell you in the fourth, at halftime, the score was 55-55, I'm sure the guys are going to go on YouTube it or Google it or whatever you do. And I may be a little bit off, but it was a very close game in the first half. And I went into the locker room that particular game, and I started thinking to myself, we're going to beat these guys. What I was thinking at halftime in that little form arena, the locker rooms are a lot different from the way they are now at different arenas. But I told myself that we could win the game. And I was wrong, and the reason that I was wrong is because we faced Hall of Fame talent.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about guys that are already in the Hall of Fame, that were tremendous basketball players, and we just came up short. But great experience, and a real quick story about competing that I can pass on is that, you know, when I first got in the league, Mark McGuire and Magic Johnson were great friends. They knew each other from college. They were really tight as players. And every time we went to L.A., Mark would always gather everybody up and take them to a barbecue at Magic's house.
Awesome.
And they would soften you up. They would tell you how much they love you. Magic would be serving barbecue to you, potato salad and baked beans and all of the whole spread, right? And I'll never forget, man, my second year in the league, I looked at Mark when the van came to take us to Magic's place and told him, man, I'm not going to Magic's fucking house anymore. I said, I can't. I'm just not going to go. I said, I got to guard this 6-year fucking dude, man. He really gives a heck about me, right?
Right.
So I made a decision my second year in the league not to ever go to any more barbecues and gatherings and things of that nature, just so I could go out and compete at my highest level.
That is awesome. Derek, Derek Harper, by the way, Derek Harper's our guest. I love little stories like that. I mean, we could talk all day about stats and your game and all this, and it was incredible.
That's a true story. That's a true story right there. Everybody would check the box on that. They remember it like it was yesterday.
I bet. I can't imagine how fun that would be. Derek, I wanted to ask you about playing basketball in the 80s. Now, I grew up as a Dr. J fan, man. I was the guy, you know, and of course, as much as you hated the Lakers, I hated the Celtics because it seemed like every year they would be knocking the Sixers out. But, you know, with Larry and Magic and you and Doc, Dr. J is still my favorite all-time athlete ever. But what was it like in the 80s? Because you get guys my age, like this 49 years old, and we look at these we look at these young kids now, we're like, well, NBA was a lot better when we played, you know, when we were, games were 140 to 138. What was it like to play in the 80s? Because, man, that was fun basketball to watch.
One word, different. Two words, totally different is what I would say as far as that's concerned. And I was very fortunate that I played through two eras. You know, 16 years is a long time. But you talked about Doc, Larry Bird. I don't know if you remember the fight that those guys had. You'll never see a fight like that. I mean, those guys had their hands around each other's throat. So it was crazy, crazy more competitive. You know, guys didn't work out together back then. I mean, could you imagine Michael Jordan working out with Larry Bird? it just doesn't happen. And you know, in all due respect to the NBA now, because the NBA is great, and provided we get through what's going on in our society right now, it'll continue to be great. But people always try to compare the old and the new, and there's just no comparison, man. The rules were different, and I think that's what separates what I call the good stuff from the junk. When I played in the 80s, you could actually, like, just move everything out of the way and fight. Okay? I mean, you could actually Bill Laimbeer, Michael Jordan knows it because of what he went through trying to get past the Detroit Pistons. He knows all too well how tough the league was back then. Again, the rules were different. You could be physical. You could check people, big guys, when they're trying to get post position. And the game was just, as a whole, a lot different than it is now. I would foul out every single game if I played more than 25 to 28 minutes. I wouldn't last because I was a physical guy that wanted to touch guys and move guys. And that's the big difference in it. But, you know, the one thing I'll say for the old NBA compared to the new And the new NBA shoots a lot more threes than we shot. That the three-pointer was just starting to evolve when we were in the league in the 80s.
Sure.
We could outshoot these guys that are in the NBA right now. And I know guys shoot 40-some percent from the three-point line. Steph Curry, you name the guys. There are a lot of guys that can really shoot that three. But the one thing I always argue is that for my career, I shot about 46, 47% from the field and maybe 33, 34% from the three-point line. That's golden in the NBA right now.
Right.
And it's a changed league. And again, not to take anything away from the NBA because it's thriving very well. But we could outshoot. I guarantee you, if I put Dale Ellis and Dragan Petrovic, Jeff Malone, if I put shooters, Craig Hodges, who I think made, what, how many three-pointers did he make in a row? 25 or something like that?
Right.
If I put those guys up against the shooters in the league right now, the old school would kill. Plain and simple.
Derek Harper is our guest, loving every minute of it. A couple more for you, Derek, before I let you go. You mentioned battling Magic, and you had a Magic story about going to a barbecue. I want to ask if you have a MJ story. Everyone's pulling those up now. The Last Dance documentary is coming up here in a couple of weeks. I know you had some fierce battles with him when you're on the Knicks. Anything that really sticks out in your head as far as a Jordan story, Jordan memory?
Nice.
Yeah, everybody has a Michael Jordan story, right? If you played against Mike, if you've been around the NBA when he was in the NBA, you have a story about Michael Jordan. And I certainly have one. And it was in, I'm forgetting the year, but I'll just tell the story. We're playing Michael after he gets back from off of retirement, right? That's the night that he had a double nickel that everybody always raves about.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about. You guys are in Illinois and all of that stuff. John Stark was guarding Michael Jordan. And Pat Riley gave me a death wish in the second half. I was like, give me a shot. You know what I mean? Let me see if I can guard Michael, you know? He gives me a shot. And I'll never forget Michael Jordan telling me verbatim, like, Hart, a couple of things. You are a pretty good defender. And I think he had like 35 in the first half.
Wow.
Do your due diligence. I mean, you don't know exactly what it is that night that he had that 30-plus first half. He says, you're good defensively, man. He said, the only problem is it's too late. He says, I'm already hot. There's nothing you can do. And he went on to get 55 points. So, you know, the goal put it on us that particular night. So Michael Jordan is the best player ever to play. I did an interview earlier with a gentleman from New York, and they were asking me about my Mount Rushmore. And, of course, you got to go Wilt, you got to go Bill Russell. Michael Jordan is right there because he won six championships. The reason you go Chamberlain is because he's the greatest specimen of the game. I mean, the guy had 100 points. And 50 rebounds. You don't hear about that kind of stuff anymore.
Incredible.
Then you go Bill Russell because he's the greatest winner
of
all time. Won tons of championships in Boston and will be, you know, mentioned in as the greatest winner ever to play the game. So then I said Michael Jordan. And the reason you say Michael Jordan is because Michael had an uncanny ability to just win. Had a run of three-peat championship. Speaks for itself.
Yep.
So, you know, Mike gave us 55. So what?
I'm already hot, Derek.
A lot of people know me.
I could see him saying. Derek Harper, we're wrapping up with Derek Harper. You mentioned Mount Rushmore of the NBA or of basketball. How about, would Derek Harper be on the Mount Rushmore of Illinois basketball?
You tell me. You know, you can't. I'm not one that will flaunt what I did. You know, the one thing that I respect about basketball and sports in general is that your peers can answer the question that you just asked.
Yep.
And I never made an All-Star team. They say Eddie Johnson and I are two of the better players never to make an All-Star team.
Incredible.
I lose zero sleep about it, simply because I think if you go and you interview Magic Johnson, Fat Lever, Tim Hardaway, Gary Payton, Kevin Johnson, Michael Jordan, you interview those guys and ask them that question. Who was Derek Harper as a basketball player? And I'll get my respect.
Yep.
And I sleep well at night knowing that.
Well, Derek Harper, we cannot thank you enough for this. We need to do this again eventually because, I mean, you are a name that we've had texts come in. I've had texts personally on my phone. Guys just are like, man, this is awesome hearing from Derek Harper. If you're ever back in town, we'd love to get a chance to sit down with you again and visit with you. And I want to shake your hand because you provided me with a lot of memories. We had somebody text in that you signed their eighth grade letter at Oakwood, and they still have it, and they still remember that like it was yesterday. I mean, Derek, the things that you've done, it's incredible. So thank you so much for everything, my friend.
You're very welcome. And, man, you know, we're talking about sports, and I think everybody takes it a little bit serious. But that's what it's about, what you just talked about. Fans, memories, doing little things, little gestures to make somebody else feel good.
Amen.
And what we're going through now, making somebody feel good, is a huge deal, right?
No doubt. And you're doing
blessings to you all. Thank you.
You're doing it right now. I'll talk to you soon, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Derek Harper. I just told Derek Harper I'll talk to him soon. He's probably like, no, Lon, you're not. Lose my number. No, I'm kidding. Great job on that. That was incredible.
A lot better than I could have even expected.
Oh, man, a guy like Derek Harper.
The stories, man.
I don't know that I'll ever, I mean, does that just describe sports right there? I'm gushing. I'm 49. I'm gushing. I'm gushing because I just talked to Derek Harper. And, you know, Derek Harper was to me what D was to you, you know, what Kofi and I are to Andrew.
Yep.
It's cool to be a certain age. Like when Harper was here, I was 10, 11, 12 years old, coming into my own as a sports fan, as an Illinois fan. And I said to start the show, I don't really remember a ton of Derek Harper stuff because I don't think at that age I really, you know, I can remember David Freese's home run. I can remember things now in the last 25, 30 years, you know. But back then it was just, I don't think I needed to remember great things. I just knew that Derek Harper was really good. And he was one of my favorite players.
Yeah, and then good for a long time in the NBA.
Oh, my goodness. To have the career that he and Eddie Johnson both. Harper played 16 years. I think Eddie Johnson played, what, 22? It's amazing what those guys did in the NBA. And now, as announcers in the NBA, that was really fun. Great job.
We'll
with
tell
that
him
there.
That we didn't get to ask him about Luka, so we'll find an excuse to get him back on.
Perfect.
Sometime.
Let's do it, man. That was awesome. All right. When we return, Nori Lushen is ready. He was mowing.
Oh, sweet.
Of course he was mowing a baseball field, but when we come back, we'll hear from Nori Lushen. We call him Mr. Baseball in Central Illinois. We'll talk about that next. It is The Drive.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of...
You've heard their name, but who are they? Area-Wide Technologies is a full-service business solutions provider. What does that mean? Area-Wide makes it their mission to provide the perfect custom solution designed to meet your business needs. They can help you operate your IT department with confidence and excellence. Let their certified security professionals show you where your network is vulnerable, including their support in helping you transition from Windows 7. Give them a call, 217-359. 8041 or email them at info@areawidetech.com.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part. Because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Two Men and a Truck is the leader in all things moving. During this difficult time in our country, we're here to help you. As the movers who care, we're taking all necessary precautions to protect you, your belongings, and our employees daily. In Illinois, moving is an essential service to ensure shelter or the delivery of supplies, and we're open to help meet all of your home or business moving needs. For more information on how Two Men and a Truck is handling the coronavirus or to book a move, visit twomenchampaign.com. That's a smart move.
Bay Grove Tavern in downtown Champaign has a great meal to feed four this Easter Sunday. Your choice of grilled prime ribeye or two-day braised beef short ribs, served with choices of potatoes, vegetables, and salad. You can add on egg casserole, mac and cheese, or biscuits. And don't forget to add some wine to your meal as well from Big Grove's great selection. Just give your order and they'll have a pickup time ready to suit your schedule. Email sales at biggrovetavern.com or call 239-3505. Big Grove, big flavor. Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now offering great deals online to all of Illini Nation. Introducing their biggest online sale ever. T-shirts starting at just $15, crew necks starting at $20, and hoodies starting at $25. Hundreds of other items are 20% off with free shipping on orders of just $50 or more. You won't want to miss out on these amazing deals. Head to gamedayspirit.com/sale today. That's gamedayspirit.com/sale.
There's one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Warmer weather is right around the corner. Get ready for spring by achieving the image you deserve. Hi, I'm Dr. Curley with Advanced Aesthetics. If you need to tone and tighten or want a brighter, more youthful complexion, visit our website at jkurleymd.com and take advantage of our monthly specials. No matter what goals you may have this spring, we are here to help guide you on your journey to a more youthful and confident you. Call us at 356-3850. That's 356-3850.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Okay, well, that was a fun memory lane there with Derek Harper. Great stuff. Good job setting that up, Derek Piper. Hope you enjoyed that. I noticed Derek Harper wore number 12 at Illinois. Number 12 with the Mavericks. But I noticed on some of his pictures on Google, when you image it, he was number 11 with some teams. And obviously, you know, if you go to a team and somebody else is already there and has that number, then... But that number 12 hangs in the rafters, of course, here at Illinois. It hangs in the rafters with the Dallas Mavericks. Man, if you've hung a jersey in two different arenas,
yeah,
you did something right in your career.
Especially at that level.
Yeah, amen. Great stuff with Derek Harper. Now it's time to talk baseball. As the rain rolls in, thunder roll. I mean, it's supposed to be like 34 degrees.
Stop.
And Nori Lushen is the guy that, of course, today was out mowing a baseball field. That's what he does. Nori, how are you, sir?
Pretty good, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us. I know you are so humble, you're probably like, why are you doing this to me?
That's correct.
Well, Lindy made me do it. No, I'm kidding you. You know, it's a great idea because right now, as you know, Nori, there's no sports going on, and we're looking for kind of cool stories. And certainly, I'm glad that Lindy said that about you and mentioned you because I'm like, that's perfect. I mean, you have, to a lot of people, meant so much to them with regards to baseball, and a lot of people call you Mr. Baseball in Central Illinois. Isn't it amazing what that game has meant to you and what you've meant to it?
Well, I appreciate that compliment. I was very fortunate. I grew up with baseball in my hand, I think, when I was probably one or two, because my dad winged my brother and I into baseball, had our own little diamond out here on the farm. And fortunately, he taught me the right way how to play the game, the fundamentals over and over again. And I just used a lot of things he told me. And fortunately, it's paid off. And I was very fortunate to have a lot of good young ball players that played for me and several guys that coached with me. We were all on the same page, and things worked out very well.
As a guy that has coached a little bit with both my sons and kids growing up, the end of the day, when maybe you sit there and you think, oh, man, I got another practice I got to coach, or I got another game I got to go coach. But as you know well, Nori, at the end of the day, you look back and you realize the memories you created with those kids, you remember those kids, and how fulfilling that is. Did you have any idea that you would embark on a career that would go 30 years through high school, 30-plus, plus the EI, plus Legion Ball? I mean, did you have any idea that you would become someone that meant so much, you know, in terms of teaching baseball?
Right. Well, I obviously didn't realize all this was going to pan out like this, but it was fortunately worked out for me. Like I said, growing up with baseball and being taught how to play the game properly, and before I forget, you obviously have to have a happy wife that likes baseball too. She's gone through a lot of ball games, run a lot of concessions, and I mean, the list goes on with the people that have helped us with our Legion program and Robeson Little League and whatnot, all the guys that shared their talent and finances all through. And one thing that happened to me at the Robeson Little League, it was comical when after it was all said and done, but I was coaching there, and then I ended up running the league, but there was a young guy that moved into Champaign there behind Robeson Park, and his son, I think, might have been 10 or 11, and he had a younger one that was like 8 or whatever. But he said, you guys don't have anything here for the guys before Farm League. We had the Farm League and the Suited. He said, where I come from, we have what they call Peanut League. I said, really?
Hmm.
So he says, oh, yeah. He said, they go out, they got a strip ball, and the coaches pitched to him. And so I said, well, heck, I won't be bashful. I had a regular sign-up for kids at that age. And unfortunately, or fortunately, as it turned out, I ordered some restricted flight balls over a bowl. So I had tryouts and dug in baseballs. And so you got a 7- and 8-year-old throwing balls around. Fortunately, nobody got a nose broke or anything like that. It was just one little thing that happened way back then. And like I said, I got to coach with Benny Bryan over there at Centennial and Stan Lewis with high school and Legion baseball. And then, of course, Harry Rakers with Legion ball, who's still involved with it, actually runs the Legion program. Was a huge asset for me. And my oldest son helped me a couple of years. And so it just goes on and on.
Very cool.
Nori won hundreds of games, Champaign Legion. I remember seeing you around the ball field at Centennial. What are some of your favorite memories as you look back in your time in Central Illinois, big presence in baseball?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of them, of course, but the 94 Legion baseball team I had, I mean, I was loaded that particular year. I mean, we had the pitching, we had the hitting. Not only did we have 9 starters, but we had guys that backed up, came in for him. We never missed a beat. And I will say this one thing with baseball, though, actually at every level, at any level, that little hill in the middle of the infield with that pitching rubber, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
At any level, you're talking about college, junior college, high school bowl, whatever, but that will carry you a long ways and makes you a good coach at times, too.
I can't imagine some of the names that you were able to coach and guys that went on to not only college but also the professional ranks, right? I'm sure you have some that went on, and that had to be satisfying.
Yeah, just was off the top of my head, Andy Cotton, I think he played a little pro ball. Rich Hyde was playing a little bit for us. And, it just goes on and on there. It's just
Nori Lushing.
Yeah, Matt. I think Matt Hurges, I think he might be with the Giants now.
Pitching coach.
Pitching coach over there. And, of course, the Hurges family. My dad played ball when Hurd's grandfather was involved in the EI. And I can recall Lauren Tate, Sonny Tate, he's playing for us out here. Ernie Westfield's out here at EI. And my grandfather actually is one of the pioneers of the EI League. And
wow.
He even had Dizzy Dean out here at one time at Gifford. And Satchel Paige even made an appearance in the EI League a couple of times.
Wow.
And, it's, I mean, you can't believe it's a fraternity starting running across guys at 9, 10, 11, and their fathers and their uncles. It's a small world.
Sure.
Could Lauren Tate play ball at all? Because he walks around like he's a big deal around here or something.
That was interesting. I had Travis, his son, end up playing ball at Centennial there for a couple of years, a lefty. And, of course, Sonny would be out there. I call him Sonny. That's what we called back then. He was a heck of an athlete in his day, too, you know. But there's the Lou Reinicks, and there's the it just goes on and on. We had several battles in the EI League going back. Mike Schultz, who's probably, I think he's Mr. Ironman, top pitcher in EI, they figured out one day. But we had the, 18-19 inning game up here at Gifford. In fact, that's where I'm at right now. Just got through mowing up here, and we had the Steve Ward pitch for Rand Tool, and I think one of them had 27 strikeouts. The other guy had 20. I mean, it was those were good old days, and I don't know if those particular EI days will come back.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Nori Lushen is our guest. We call him Mr. Baseball in Central Illinois. Nori, I wanted to ask you, Scott Gareltz, I know you played against Scott Gareltz in EI, and a guy that went on to play, of course, Major League Baseball, pitch in the bigs. Is he the best baseball player from this area?
Well, boy, that's hard.
That is hard. That's not fair, is it?
That kid was tough. I mean, he played some EI bowl. I think he only might have been 19. I think I even got to face him. Not only do we play in the EI League, we played on Wednesday nights over Danville Twilight League, and Buckley had an entry in that league. And it was tough enough hitting him in daylight, but I ended up, I think, one night facing our lives. My God, it was yeah, that guy was blessed with a very good arm and intelligent between the ears. And, of course, he had Scott. There was a Shively that played up there, too, that was a heck of a pitcher. Back at their younger age, too. And you go to the Sprouls, and I mean, it just goes on and on.
Nori,
as far as being the best, I don't know.
That's tough. Yeah, that's not really a fair question to ask you. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to ask you this. Right. I have one son now that only played Farm League and Little League. Well, minors and majors. I used to call them we used to play Farm League and Little League, and now Pony Ball. Hopefully they'll play Pony Ball. And I had another son that's older now in college that played a lot of travel ball. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it right with the travel ball and everything? I mean, I see both sides. Like when I don't argue with people, but I tell people I've lived both sides of it. And I can see the strengths of travel. I can also see the strengths of playing with your buddies there in town. What do you think of that and how we're doing it now?
Well, yeah, the travel ball, obviously, being I'm old school with Legion Bowl and situations like that. I guess the thing that I find interesting or unbelievable is the money that parents and grandparents will spend on their son, whatever it might be, on any kind of travel ball or whatnot.
Right.
I guess it's a fair thing. Like I say, there were teams in the last 4 or 5 years I played Legion Bowl. We played some travel teams in our league, and we would hold our own. There was no problem there. I mean, we handled them. It was interesting. I recall one team we were playing, and the kid for the other team, I think he threw about 3 innings, and all of a sudden, I mean, he was tough. All of a sudden, he took him out of the game. I said to the coach, I said, what's going on here? He said, well, he's got to go play with another travel team, and he's got to save his arm over there for them guys. And I go, well, the loyalty is different, you know.
Right.
And I know a lot of college coaches would remind me, they love going, they like going to Legion games and watching two teams that are competing for maybe a district tournament or a championship of the league, you know, a tournament somewhere. Whereas, not those kids are all right on travel ball. They're good kids and all, but they go play their games, pitch their three innings or get their three at-bats. Score is irrelevant, you might say.
Right.
So
it's a good point.
I don't know. I was brought up old school, and I never charged a kid to give him a lesson for here and there, but I guess I'm just missing the boat on that.
You need to go back, you know.
Yeah,
you make a lot of money right now.
But there's nothing. Those individuals that, you know, conduct clinics and stuff, that's
sure.
More power to them. That's just how it is. It's obviously that way in basketball with girls and volleyball and whatever you might have. It's 2020 now. It's not 1960s anymore.
So. Amen. Amen.
Nori, got a page of research here in front of me that Lon put together. What's this about?
With the help of Lindy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
what's this
scary.
About you setting a Little League field on fire?
Well, a lot of people didn't realize that dirt can burn. And, I mean, that was old school I learned. You get a little gasoline, which wasn't that expensive back in those days, and just sprinkle it on your dirt a little bit, throw a match on it, and it'll burn that top half off, throw that crust, and then you rake it up, and you're ready to go here in 20 minutes.
any story?
I guess some of the tricks I found out from EI League, I used to see them drag tires around a ball diamond that were lit up just so they could play. So
isn't that amazing? I mean, the will
it's
to
crazy.
Play. The will to play is definitely something that's true. And by the way, any answer that starts with, well, I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't going right. Nori Lushen, of course, of course today you'd be up mowing a field in Gifford. Because that's right. What you do, man. You're around the game, and we love the stories. We could go on, I'm sure, with stories.
Oh, yeah.
Would be great. But, hey, we really appreciate this. Tell Lindy thank you. I know he set this up, and you can beat him up later if you want. But we enjoyed it, Nori. Thank you so much.
I am sorry. There's no way I can do that.
So. Back in the day,
I'm
sure.
Did you say Mr. Piper there with you?
Yes.
I recall watching him play basketball there at Centennial. I mean, there's some nice ball clubs he was on over there.
Yeah, my brother's 6'8". He's a little taller than me,
yeah.
So he had an advantage. But they were darn good. Went to state.
Yeah,
that's who I was watching. Yeah,
yeah,
very good, very good,
incredible. Nori Lushen, thank you, sir.
Okay, appreciate the call.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. That is Nori Lushen. Good stuff there with baseball. He thought the interview was tomorrow. So that's why we couldn't get a hold of him earlier, because he's out mowing. I mean, the rain's coming. He had to go get that done. That's
awesome.
It was
a day for ball.
It was.
Or the rain drilling in.
This is the perfect, right here, this is what I remember, is that you had a game at 6 o'clock, and as a kid, you'd be looking out your window going, no, no, no! And sure enough, here comes the rain, and it's all you thought about all day was getting to play baseball, and then rain would come and ruin it. Sorry, I don't know.
It's tough playing ball in the spring in Central Illinois.
It is. Man, is it. Especially when
it's going to rain tonight and then you're playing tomorrow when it's 40.
40 degrees and you're, come on, Lonnie. Let's make some contact here. I'm like, no.
It stinks.
I'm going to strike out looking or I'm going to walk. That's what I'm doing right now because it hurts. Quick break, the drive.
Hickory River Smokehouse is open with drive-thru, catering, and delivery. There's nothing better than real Texas barbecue, and no better place to get it than Hickory River Smokehouse. Every cut of beef brisket, pork loin, turkey breast, and chicken are rubbed with a signature spice blend, infused with hickory smoke for juicy award-winning flavor, and served up right here in Central Illinois for 25 years. You can count on Hickory River. Visit the drive-thru or call your location for delivery.
A reminder that Honda BMW of Champaign is still open by appointment. They're available for vehicle service and are helping keep you safe with complete disinfection offered for the inside of your vehicle. If you don't want to leave your home and head in to Honda BMW, no worries. They're available online. That's right. You can buy a car completely online and they'll deliver it to you. Find the vehicle that fits your needs without ever leaving your couch. Honda BMW of Champaign, here to serve you during this tough time. Located at the corner of Neal and Burwash or online, drivechampaign.com. Dick VanDyke.com.
Like most right now, I need more freezer space. I went to Dick Van Dyke and they were sold out of the size I needed. They took my name and my number and said they were expecting a shipment in soon. About 2 hours later, my sales associate called me back and said a shipment of freezers in the size I needed was being unloaded. I went in, ordered, and got my freezer the next day. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, owner of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Central Illinois within the past month. We know that keeping your food fresh is essential. So is keeping your homes clean. We have washing machines and dishwashers equipped with sanitation and steam clean. These appliances are in stock and on sale with a free 10-year protection plan. Our doors are open and our staff is practicing proper measures to keep your buying experience safe and sanitary. Call, order online, or stop into our showroom. We always guarantee the best deal. Wow!
When you buy from us, get the whole store.
Hey, we know you're still thinking ahead about where you'd like to go to college. We know it's especially challenging.
I want to go back.
Me too. To look at schools now.
1 year, one semester. Could you handle a year of college now?
The school or the after school?
Correct.
I try in one of them.
I don't know if I could handle the school.
No, it'd be tough to do homework again.
Yeah.
Challenging look at schools because of campus visitor suspensions that are in place to protect guests and staff from COVID-19. The College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois cares about health and safety of all visitors and staff. Wants you to stay active in the search. They certainly wish they could host you in person, but you can take a virtual tour of the University of Illinois online.
Yeah.
Just Google University of Illinois.
Boom.
Campus visit College of Aces.
Okay. Good show, Isaac Ambrose. Thanks for your help, buddy.
No problem.
We talked to Derek Harper. That was awesome, man.
It was pretty fun.
Isaac, had you ever heard of Derek Harper?
I had, but honestly, the only reason I heard of it was because this summer when I worked with Jeremy's show,
yeah.
I put a Twitter thing together with old basketball players. So that's the only reason I knew who it
Isn't
was.
Isn't it amazing to think, you think how good these guys are, how good Iowa is.
Right.
Derek Harper was second team All-American.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing when you think about that. So, all right, thanks for your help, Stud. Thanks to your parents, by the way, who saw that my window was down,
right.
And it's about ready to rain. So,
hey, Harper played 3 years at Illinois and played a bunch in the NBA. So maybe your Iowa should think, hey,
yeah.
Third year, second team All-American or something.
And then somebody else doing this show in 20 years will have you on, Iowa. That'd be awesome. I think that's a great idea. All right, listen, thanks to him and also Nori Lushin. Fun talking and catching up about baseball in Central Illinois. He's one of those guys one time we need to get him in here. In this studio for an hour and just talk baseball. I think that would be a blast. All right. Pipes, have a good night. Everybody, it's going to rain. It's coming. It is coming if it's not already raining there. So everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.